Igor's day-to-day work in the early 1990s was something like this. A heroin addict would turn up at his lab very upset because he was a father-to-be, but try as he might, he cared more about the heroin than his unborn child. So he'd lie on a bed, and Igor would blast him with subliminal messages. He'd flash them onto a screen in front of the addict's eyes and blast them through earphones disguised by white noise. And the messages would say, "Be a good father. Fatherhood is more important than heroin," and so on. This was a man once feted by the Soviet government, which 10 years earlier had instructed him to blast his silent messages at Red Army troops on their way to Afghanistan. Those messages said, "Do not get drunk before battle." But the glory days were long gone by March 1993, the month Igor Smirnov received a telephone call out of the blue from the FBI. Could he fly to Arlington, Virginia right away? Igor Smirnov was intrigued and quite amazed, and he got on a plane. The U.S. intelligence community had been spying on Igor Smirnov for years. It seemed he'd succeeded in creating a system of influencing people from afar, putting voices into their heads, remotely altering their outlook on life, perhaps without the subject even knowing it was being done to them. This was a tangible, real-life, mechanistic version of General Wickham's prayer groups or Guy Savelli's goat staring, the kind of system the ambient composer Stephen Halpern had suggested to Jim Channon back in the late 1970s. The question was, could Igor do it to David Koresh? Could he put the voice of God into David Koresh's head? The Branch Davidians, an offshoot of the Seventh-day Adventists, had been living around Waco, predicting an imminent judgment day, since 1935. When Vernon Howell took over the church's leadership in the late 1980s and declared himself a Christ figure, the Anointed One, the seventh and final messenger as outlined in the Book of Revelation, and changed his name to David Koresh and started selling weapons illegally to fund his congregation's separatist lifestyle, the U.S. Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms began to take an interest. They imagined that a high-profile raid on the church would be good for agency morale and PR. So they tipped off the local media, told them the Branch Davidians were theologically incomprehensible, nuts, and heavily armed. They were, but basically in the way that gun shops are heavily armed, and they were going in. What the BATF failed to predict was that Koresh had been waiting for a confrontation like this, and relished the prospect. It was his destiny to be attacked by a hostile army, representing an out-of-control, sinister, heavy-handed, New World Order-type Babylon government. On 28 February 1993, 100 or so BATF agents stormed the church, but the raid turned into a gun battle, during which 4 agents were killed, and the gun battle turned into a siege.